and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And we have appropriate professionals in our studio today live. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, headed up by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here on the 3rd of September, Thursday. Welcome to all of our listeners. So we have Heidi Thompson joining us today. Welcome, Heidi.
Good morning.
And John Sluice, CPA, local CPA, has been our CPA for some time, referred to us, I would say, a couple years ago from a family friend, and has done a great job for us. He has a very good reputation in the community. Smart guy. So it'll be great to have him talking to us about what's happening in You're welcome. Current tax world. But today, thanks, John, for joining us. We're talking about personal and corporate or business taxes and the impact that the changes have had, but also how people are pivoting, how much change has occurred since March of this year when the market hit its bottom at about 18.5, and now it's almost back to its all-time high again. But John, what would you say, the first side, what's happening for those on their personal tax side that they should be aware of, that you're seeing with those who are on the personal side, without getting into the business yet, but what are you seeing on the personal side for taxes and changes that people might not be aware of yet?
I think the biggest thing that I'm seeing right now is a disconnect between what people are hearing in the media and what they're actually seeing on their personal income tax or their business income tax. Meaning there's been so much talk, so much change, so much new legislation, so much political and media about the market being up and being down and being all over the place that people don't know where they're at. And what I'm seeing is when you actually start looking at the numbers, either at individual or business, people are generally doing better from a tax point of view than what they anticipated. And so what I'm seeing is a big tax liability coming for most individuals and most business owners come the end of the year. And so if there's ever a year to be doing tax planning, this is that year. You know, I kind of give the analogy that people say that this year has been like a roller coaster. It's gone all over. If this is a roller coaster, I don't want to be on this one particularly because it's been so all over. And things that we might have done back in March and April, which were sound advice and sound moves then, are totally different than what they are. The stock market's up where we thought it was going to be down. Businesses are oftentimes more taxable right now than when we thought. So just the change and the disconnect of what we think it is compared to what we're actually seeing.
Now, you just mentioned, so what do you mean by that? What you gave people as advice in March is change now. What is that, some of that pivot? What are you referencing there, John?
Well, so let's use the example for an individual where we were talking about not taking an RMD early on. And we talked pretty heavily on that on this radio show as well, on the idea that, well, we don't want to take an RMD this year because the stocks are down, and so you don't want to sell when they're down.
Well, number one, you don't have to because the tax law changed through the CARES Act. But number two, because the market was down, it didn't make sense.
Right. And so now the stock market's up. Well, so not saying that we go do an RMD, but it's changed the reasons why we decided not to. So you want to reevaluate it. Or let's say that you went into this year and you did a conversion or you recognized some income. because you thought you were going to be coming into a tax loss, either from business, because business results are down, or individuals. Well, now you're looking at it and business is back up, actually, or your portfolio is back up. And so there's some decisions that got made earlier in the year that may be inconsistent with what's there.
So inevitably, these do become mixed. Now, you also mentioned in our conversation beforehand that expenses have also come down for a lot of businesses, and many of them may be surprised that their actual net income is higher.
That's, I think, the biggest thing that I see that's kind of not being talked about within the media. So you hear in coffee shop discussions or media or wherever that business is down. And I think it's partly because people don't want to admit that they're doing well this year because of the fear that I want to make sure that we've got stimulus dollars because we are down or because of everything that's down. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, while revenue is oftentimes down, so top line sales or top line income coming in the doors is down, expenses are down as well. You know, so people are remote now. So maybe you've downsized on your operations. You're not spending as much traveling. Or if your staff, maybe your staff has gone down. So it's you've come now as the business owner and you're actually mopping the bucket or mopping the floor. Your sales might be down, but your expenses are down as well. And as a result of that, you're more taxable.
So it sounds to me like you're seeing a lot of business owners that are surprised at the numbers when they're coming in to review them with you. Are you seeing that yet in these reviews, John?
Oh, yes. I mean, one thing that we really push our business owners is to talk with us during the year. So we meet pretty regularly throughout the year and have open discussions and have, you know, more general discussions earlier. And we are seeing that where people in March, April, May, we were talking about having a collision course of having losses that we're going to have to deal with, mm-hmm. are now coming back and looking at it as a result of August activities where they're doing well and they're anticipating doing well. Maybe you're a construction worker and you were shut down because you couldn't stay home, so you couldn't do anything. Well, now you're looking at it and say, I had just as much work, the same work I was going to be doing during April and May when I was shut down, I'm now doing this summer. And in fact, because there's so much demand, I'm actually increasing my rates and doing better at it right now. And I'm backlogged for the next 6 months. So coming this year, we're going to be busier this year than we were last year.
So they're being pushed. A lot of your businesses then, are you saying, are being pushed right now? They're that mm-hmm. busy that mm-hmm. they're almost swamped.
I wouldn't say almost. They are.
They are, period. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. Mm. And restaurants, the same, where restaurants are down. You hear there's a market that you typically hear, well, you know, they got hit hard. Mm. Well, they did. They got hit. The sales are down. But the expenses are down as well. And so they're finding that they're actually more taxable. Or another example.
Well, their taxes, their revenue is increased after their expenses. So their net is at the same or higher as well. Is that what you're saying?
Their net is higher.
So. Wow. For those some companies that took the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, has that helped any companies?
Oh, that has helped significantly.
Bottom line?
We wouldn't be talking about this where people are high because everyone is shut down. So that PPP did what it needed to do. People kept paying dollars throughout that process to keep things going. So it worked. And you mentioned, Ron, that the PPP is out there. I think that's the second biggest shock that I am seeing is, by definition, the debt forgiveness that comes with the PPP is not taxable. So by definition.
Because they changed the law on that.
Yep.
Mnuchin led the charge on that one.
Right? What happens, though, is because it's not taxable, the expenses that you use those dollars with are not deductible. So that's a really fancy way of saying it's taxable. And most
because
businesses,
you'll have more revenue.
Because you have this cash. Well, put another way is if you used it to pay for payroll, that's the intent of what it was. Well, if last year you deducted those salaries, this year you don't get to deduct it. Now, if your revenue truly went down and you shut down, so you're a bowling alley that shut down or you're a movie theater that you don't have the revenue and you really have a loss, it's not a problem. But let's go back to that construction company or mm-hmm. you go back to the restaurant or other of these where you actually are showing that you have more taxable income and you work through it. You not only are more taxable, but you also have these expenses that got paid for that aren't deductible. Mm. So you're even double hit.
Now, what's interesting is the national news was just saying that both personal and business tax revenue is down. This is pointing in the future is that going up.
Correct.
And surprisingly, possibly significantly for some businesses, where they may not be aware of this, so they really want to get a look at this. And as you said earlier, tax planning this year has never been more important. Is that why you're saying that specifically?
That is why I'm saying that specifically, both on the individual or the business, across the board. If it's low income, high income, business, individual, anybody that is listening, you should be thinking about tax planning this year more than you ever do, because there's been so much loop-de-loop and moving and changing around this year that has gone on that you need to be reevaluating what you did. You need to be thinking of where you are today versus where you are a month ago.
So even though you weren't didn't go to Cedar Point this year, Ron, here we are with a loop-de-loop.
That's right.
Yes. Well, now, are we okay without a break here, Ron, or do we need to take one? Let's keep going. Heidi's got a question.
Well,
here.
That just reminded me of something we were talking about before the show, John, was the people who were receiving unemployment. So having taxes withheld because that's taxable income. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yep. So this gets into the idea that tax planning isn't just for that if you have huge income. It could be all across the board, but unemployment specifically. So it's back in March. You're looking at, I just lost my job and I need to take unemployment. And the state of Michigan gave you, or any state gave you, the option as to whether or not you want to withhold dollars on that. Because ultimately, unemployment is taxable. Mm-hmm. And so you may have elected and said, you know what, I'm going to be down this year. I don't have a job. I'm not going to withhold taxes. Well, you got unemployment through the year. It's taxable. And now you're looking at it. You got the PPP, so you continued on the dollars, or you continued on, or you're now back to work. And so you might be more taxable this year than you were before, on top of having unemployment, which is taxable.
So you want to plan so it's not a huge surprise in January or February when you're sitting down to do your taxes.
Absolutely.
Now, there's some expenses that you can take that are deductible after the year. For instance, if you can do an IRA, you know, that is deductible after the year. But a lot of these deductions you want to take a look at this year, because they're only deductible in the calendar year in which you take them.
Mm-hmm. Like a 401k. If you're working for an employer that has a 401k, you have to have that your match in before the end of the year, because it has to go through payroll. And so if that would be a perfect example of making those decisions beforehand.
Excellent. So the next part of this thing is the payroll tax holiday. We were talking about this, too. Now, this was something that was just proposed through the Trump administration. Could you tell us what this is and how it works? And
well, Dennis, I'm going to take your analogy, and I have to give you credit for it, but we're kind of comparing it to like a meteor, where it looks really fancy and cool out in the sky and looks like just this amazing thing, and then when you really look at it, it's just a black rock.
When it hits the earth, it's a black rock. Yeah.
It's a whole lot of hoopla about not much. Ultimately, it is a loan. So this tax holiday, what Trump did is he did a memorandum that said between Trump to the Secretary of the Treasury, we mentioned that they want to put in place something to do with Social Security. Well, Trump, the important thing to remember is Trump does not have the ability to cut taxes. All he has the ability is to defer things. And so ultimately, all this is a deferral. It is a loan. It is a short-term interest-free loan. What it does is it gives an employee the ability to not pay Social Security taxes from the period of September 1st through December 31st. But you have to turn around and pay it back January 1st through April 30th. So I'm going to cut through all of that to a perfect example. If you're making $20 an hour, what we're talking about is an $865 four-month loan. It's not worth it. As my professional opinion is, you're going to go through a lot of hoopla, a lot of concern, a lot of how do we do this? Your employer probably isn't going to want to go through the hassle. We're not advising that employers do this, that you're going to go through the hassle to ultimately have a four-month short-term loan.
Do the employers have to sign up for this program?
They do not. It is not required, and most employers are opting not to.
So not everybody will see that Social Security tax, or most people will still see their paychecks are normal.
Correct. Yeah. I would by and large say that as an employee, you should not assume that it's going to happen. If you do really want it, you're going to have to request it.
Okay.
And what I've told our employers that we work with is to sit down and have a really discussion with the employee and find out why they need it. Because ultimately, if that employee is that hard up that they need that loan, or if you're looking at it, there are other alternatives out there that are probably the better option for it. Again, it had the potential to be really big, But it fundamentally, when the push comes to shove, when you look at the details, it's more administrative work than what it's worth.
So if you did opt to take that and your employer went along with it for 3 months, starting in January, the deductions out of your paycheck will be larger because you have to pay it back.
Okay. You'll be double. So you're going to take lower of a paycheck in January through April.
Now, the only caveat to that would be is if Congress actually says, well, we're going to forgive that
correct.
Loan.
That is the possibility out there. Now, what I would tell you is what they're proposing there is that you're going to cut Social Security. It was an attempt to get the discussion going, but I think an $865 loan is not going to be what causes Congress to change the Social Security Department.
Okay. So. All right.
And they have to agree, so that's another problem.
What? You know, they get along pretty well, don't they? I mean, really. Yeah.
I have a few questions in our text line here for you guys.
Great.
Actually, a comedian was the first one, said, you'll get a vaccine depending on who you vote for.
All right. That's great. Thank you, by the way. Wow.
So, how would you pay back the deferred SSI if you had a seasonal job and not working from January through April? Not working January through April. They have a seasonal job. How would they pay back the defer? Oh, that's okay if they opted to take this payroll tax cut, I guess, right?
Yeah, if they're not even working, how do they pay it back from payroll?
Oh, okay, I see what they're saying.
That is what you're getting to there is, again, the payroll tax holiday. There is a lot of questions that come off of this. The theory is very simple. You take what you made during September 1st through December 31st, and you pay it back January 1st through April 30th. But like this listener alluded to, what do you do if you don't pay? Mm. What if you do if the employee leaves and now you're at a different job? What if you do if you make more money during that period? So are you going to pay double taxation then at a higher rate? So there's a lot of practicality that comes through. And so that's where it gets into the theory of this sounds really good. But the practical side of it, when you start asking all the questions, it's just atrocious is what I'm telling people. So to answer his particular question, I don't know, nor does the Treasury, nor does everyone else. The theory is you pay it back during that period. Ultimately, there's going to have to be a mechanics that's out there that's going to have to be developed on how you would pay it without wages, whether it's on the tax return, whether it's through a catch-up once you do start working. But no one knows that particular question yet. It will have to be figured out, but you're going to spend more time thinking about that than what it was worth to get that short-term loan.
You can be assured they'll get their money back.
Yes. Right now, they will get their money back.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, another question. The recent RMD change due to the COVID crisis allows one to skip distributions. Is it true that I was able to pay back the prior distributions made in 2020 prior to August 31st, 20? Is it true that I was able to pay back the prior distributions made before August 31st?
That is correct. There was, in essence, an RMD holiday that would allow you to pay back those RMDs if you had taken them based on the end value as of 12/31/19. Your RMD required minimum distribution this year. Some who took it early in the year previously didn't have the option to pay it back in. Well, they changed the law and then allowed that, in essence, extended that time frame to August 31st of 2020. So we actually had a client that paid it back, paid their RMD back in because they didn't need the funds, and then elected to take a Roth conversion as a result of that change.
Yeah, that's where, again, I'll come back on the loop-de-loops and say that you have the ability to put it back in through all the way through August. But now you have to sitting here in September of trying to decide, well, if I did put it back, do I want to take that income or not this year because the market's up? And so you mentioned a Roth conversion, which is what many have done within that, and we've seen that. But we're also starting to see the discussion and the decision on the idea that the stock market is now up. And there are many out there that may feel that they want to start shifting more into a defensive position in moving from the stock market, anticipating a potential decline in the stock market. So the next question then off of that comes in, well, I want to shift maybe from growth stocks into more of a conservative portfolio. You go into your tax or your financial advisor and say, I want to do that. And they say, well, that sounds great, but if I do that, we're going to have a tax liability because we have a whole lot of built-in capital gains that are going to come with it. So maybe we want to look at shifting and recognizing some of those capital gains this year, if we can, in order to facilitate being able to shift and do some moves within your portfolio.
Well, the other part of that equation is that taxes are at historic lows.
Correct.
And if we do have a Biden presidency, and Heidi keeps reminding all of us, if we have a Biden presidency, taxes are most certainly going to go up. Heidi, you're the easiest candidate here to pick on. So
I appreciate that you picked on Heidi versus me. So that was nice. Thank you.
But so would you say that as well, John? What would you, given the 12% bracket for joint filers is now income, taxable income about $80,000?
Well, to answer your question, as an accountant, it was drilled into us that you never pay taxes the day before you need to and you always defer. And I still hold back to that, and I twitch every time I shift off of it.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, you hear me talking about Roth conversions. You hear me talking about recognizing capital gains. The fact that you have an accountant even admitting that they're thinking about it and talking about it tells you that, yes, we need to be take advantage of these low markets, and we are more often than not telling individuals to start recognizing it now versus later. And that gets into what we started this whole little snippet here on discussion on is, do I need to take an RMD? Well, maybe you don't need to take an RMD this year, but maybe you want to utilize that lack of income this year and use that to recognize the capital gains or a Roth conversion or some other things, because it is so low tax rates right now that to let that go, just it's hard.
You may have a chorus of people joining you on this, because we've had previous callers say, you know, Dennis, you guys talk about saving every last dime all the time, frankly, and I'm just trying to help us get some balance, if you will. I think you're in the radio station in the financial world. You know, we actually use this money for something, Dennis. No, so
right.
That may be a part of the argument there. You know, we've wanted to take a trip, even though we can't go right now. We might use it next year. Those sorts of things. So possibly looking at next year for needing some of those funds. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to take it or declare it as income this mm-hmm. year in 2020.
Well, as an accountant, I would say that the worst thing you can do is have ups and downs of that volatility. So while the financial market may revel in the idea of the ups and downs, as an accountant, we like to keep it nice and smooth. So we don't want to be in the 37% tax bracket and then the 0% bracket and then the 24% bracket and then down again. So we want to keep things nice and smooth so that way you're not recognizing too much in taxes, but also you're not losing some deductions, the standard deduction that's out there or some of the other ability that you're utilizing, some tax planning strategies of 401ks or IRAs. So utilizing those. And so keeping it level and equal is very important.
So it's kind of an intermediate discussion. Sorry, Heidi. Go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify something, because in your discussion back and forth, just when we're talking about the IRA and the RMD and we're talking about selling and capital gains, in the IRA, money is just taxed at the income rate when it comes out. So when you're talking about capital gains being something that you spend, that would be on a non-qualified or non-retirement account, correct? Just want to make sure that it's clear to everybody.
Retirement or within, heaven forbid, after-tax accounts. And that's one of my preaching things is that I see huge tax liabilities just looming out there, and we have so much tax accounts in the 401ks or the IRAs that starting to recognize some of those and moving them to after-tax accounts. Dennis, as you said, people actually live on things. So they want to take trips. They want to invest in business. So having the ability to have an after-tax account is an understated item out there and is a thought. So, I mean, yes. So
I just wanted to make sure that people were clear.
So actually saving, actually taking some of this money out and recognizing it. Recognition simply means that you're paying the tax on it, taking out of the IRA perhaps or 401k. And placing those funds in another investment account, perhaps a joint account or a trust account, a regular brokerage account perhaps, mm-hmm. or other investment, may be a good idea in today's relatively low tax rate environment.
Correct. A lot of people assume that if you're going to save, it has to be in a retirement account. And I tell people, no, you can save in a regular investment account that you then have access to that you're recognizing. And I tell people, I don't like paying a dime more in taxes. I love paying taxes at the 0% rate. Love it. Because ultimately what you're doing there is you're recognizing paying taxes, but at the 0% rate or the 12% rate. And so actually recognizing income on a capital gains point of view and strategizing doing that, because you're shifting it from a pre-tax to an after-tax account at a low tax rate.
Well, in reference to that, you're talking about dividends specifically from stocks and or mutual funds that are taxed at a much more...
dividends or capital gains.
Helpful rate, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. yes. All
and right. so really you're saying, too, that if you have retirement money in an IRA or a 401k and you have some non-qualified or not retirement money, it gives you additional strategies that you as a CPA can help your client lower that actual tax.
Lower the actual tax, but then also reinvest, you know, so mm-hmm. buying businesses, buying equipment, buying all these things that you have. You can't do that from a retirement account. And so being able to have access to liquid capital is pretty important.
Great. Now, to further dig into that, I'm just curious in terms of what you're seeing in the Traverse City area. Obviously, you're deep into it with individuals. Are you seeing significant growth from individuals coming into the Traverse City region? And if so, what form are you seeing that in? Business, individuals? What are you seeing there, John?
The short answer is yes. I am seeing growth. Where my observation, what I'm seeing, is it's on the more on the individual side than it is on the business side. And the individuals I'm seeing are those that already had a connection to the area. So maybe it's they had a cottage here on Long Lake, and they came only in the summer. But now they're looking at it and saying, well, hey, my kids are going remote for school, and I have the ability to be a remote job. I'm just going to stay here over the winter now. And so whereas they normally would be heading out at Labor Day and going back to their house, they're sticking around for another month or two, or maybe all the way till next year. So I am seeing more of that inflow. I'm seeing people that were in the big cities that had cottages here that are deciding to move here and make it permanent. Maybe it was those that we talked about in an earlier discussion where they decided to retire early. And mm-hmm. so they were thinking of they bought their house up here and they were going to retire in 5 years. But now they're retired. So they're here. So it's
an acceleration of those who may not have thought of moving before, but had definitely had some connection here or some roots here. And they decided we want to get out of Dodge.
That is
we
correct.
Move into something smaller, more safer, if you will.
And the other thing I'm seeing is, and it's on the business side, is it's not necessarily new businesses starting, but I'm seeing pretty significant mergers and acquisitions happening. And it's from individuals that are looking to get out of big cities that are looking to buy businesses yeah. here, existing businesses, and buy them. So.
What are you seeing in terms of those who are available to buy as well? Is there a lot of activity both on the buy and sell side, or what are you seeing there?
There is a lot of activity out there. So just like there's activity on the housing market because the interest rates are low, the same can be said about businesses. So when you're buying a business, you have to oftentimes you have to finance it. And so with the low interest rates being out there and the programs that are available that are giving banks the ability to lend, one of the things that they can borrow for is buying a business. And so that is allowing for businesses to be bought. And as you see, the baby boomers are starting to retire. There are businesses that are available to sell. Mm-hmm. And so there is both market for selling and market for buying.
Interesting.
We talked to a commercial realtor a few weeks ago in Traverse City, and he said he had 3 calls from San Francisco people in the last couple of weeks that wanted wow. to move here, and they were inquiring about buying businesses or
wow.
Interest yep. like that, yeah.
Yeah. They're probably tired of those hair salons that don't allow people to come in and
right.
get their hair cut.
Yeah. Maybe they could open up a sourdough bread shop or something.
It's too funny.
All right.
I think, Dennis, I mean, just the biggest thing that we want to say here is that there is always a need for tax planning. There's not an accountant out there that's not going to tell you not to tax plan. But this year particularly, it's so important to be thinking about tax planning, to be utilizing and to planning ahead. Know that there are things going to happen. I've heard that there's a big event coming in November that's going to happen. Now, I don't, just hypothetically, I don't know what's going to happen there, but there is going to be an outcome. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, there is going to be an outcome.
We hope there's an outcome in November.
There you go. So plan for it. So sit here today and decide what are you going to do if A happens, or what are you going to do if B happens? It's going to happen. And so know and think about it today so that you're not making a knee-jerk reaction come November and December. The stock market is going to go up or it's going to go down, but it's going to do something. So know what you're going to do today or think about today what you're going to do when it happens. December 31st is going to happen. So decide today if you're going to buy that piece of equipment or if you're going to invest in a 401k. Mm. So thinking now before the end of the year is so crucial. I don't care if you're a business, you're an individual, high income, low income, where it is, everyone should be thinking about tax planning.
Great point, John. And more valuable than ever is what you would say.
Absolutely.
Great. Did you have another question, Heidi?
I did. And this is, I've had several clients call me, women that have lost their husbands over the last couple of years. And, you know, they got more. They got double the stimulus, that $1,200. They got $2,400. And so what do you do if you're in a circumstance where you your spouse passed away or maybe you got divorced? I mean, do you get to keep that money? What's the story there?
So that is a real issue. It's one that the Secretary of the Treasury recognized was going to happen. They based the stimulus dollars off of the 2018 tax returns first and then the 2019, and they opted, knowing that this was a risk, that they wanted to have speed to the masses over the risk of having it happen. And so the most common one, is, as you mentioned, Heidi, is if you had a spouse that passed away in 2019. So that in that particular case, on the 2018 tax return, both individuals were there. They got funded then in 2020 off of what happened in 2019. In those particular cases, the IRS has come out. There is guidance on the IRS website. They did tell you what to do. The short version of it is that the IRS wants you to pay it back.
Can you cash a spouse's check?
It would have come jointly, and then when you file a tax return, it's indicating who has the rights to file it or not. So in those cases, that there's addresses where to how to send it back and where to send it back. At the worst case, you can do it in 2020 as your tax filing along with it. There's the lot that goes into it, so you can tell that I'm not answering the question just directly. What you need to do is talk with your accountant on it, because there are instructions on what to do, when to do, and whether or not it has to go back or not go back.
Okay. Well, Very good thing to know, because there are those questions out there. You don't just get to keep it, maybe.
About a minute before news time here as we wrap up with Prout Financial Design on New Retirement Radio. Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, and Heidi Thompson, Financial Advisor at Prout Financial Design,
937-3992, 231-947-3992 if you have a question or you'd like to sit down with us. Of course, the first hour is, there's no charge there. It's complimentary. And if you have questions about our class, Retirement Planning Today, that'll be coming up in October, feel free to call Meg at our office, 231-947-3992. And John Sluice, thank you so much for coming in. Your phone number at your office, 231-935-1590.
In Trust,
CPS.
Thank you, Dennis. And it's been a joy to be here.
Pleasure. All right.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.